I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
How's it, everyone, and welcome to this week's show of The Punt It. I'm in charge, and I'm Ronnie. There's no one else that's important enough to be announced in the welcoming, but there is some guy that's also on the line. His name is Nick. So, Nick, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Ronald. Thanks for having me this evening. I thought we'd change it up and put you in charge for a night.
Yeah, no, it's good to be in charge.
You're a terrible host. That you are drinking coffee. You haven't even given me or offered me anything.
I'm not drinking coffee. I'm drinking tea. If I drink coffee, I'll be awake till tomorrow morning. So am I in charge is what you're saying. So we'll kick this off. Then the general chat will be run by me. Let's talk about our weekend happenings. What did you get up to this weekend?
Yeah, I was throwing hearties again for the weekend. I took some mates to the dam. Puria was there. And yeah, just chilled, had a braai, went to Duplas Achat. No, typical weekend and hearties. What about you, Ronald?
So I worked on Saturday. I had a long, long week last week and worked on Saturday. And then Sunday came around and I did 5 hours of cleaning my apartment, everything from the kitchen to the bathroom to the living area. I mopped the floors after sweeping them initially. I did 3 loads of laundry. And when I was done, I sat on the couch for 5 hours waiting for Chasing the Sun.
So what you're saying to me is you've now figured out mopping. You can do it. Or are we still in this?
I'm not really sure. I'm an expert at mopping. I'll tell you, my friend, I mop this floor 2 times, one, two, and then I come with another mop, a dry mop, and I just go over it once again. But the crucial thing and the very important thing to remember is always to sweep before. Otherwise, you're just mopping the dirt around. It's important to sweep and then pick up all the dirt and the dust and all of this stuff, and then to remove it. Like me, I just go and take the little shovel that I've dusted up the dustpan and I go put it on my balcony and I come back after about 2-3 hours and the dust will have disappeared. I think the wind takes care of it and my neighbors probably hate me. It's a very convenient way of cleaning the house.
So what you're basically announcing here is that we've got a spin-off show coming, guys. Ronnie's How To. It's going to teach you basic ways of cleaning your apartment.
I'll tell you what, my friend, it's eye-opening to me what really cleaning everything is about. You know, in South Africa, a lot of us are very fortunate, but cleaning a toilet, for example, yeah, you've got to get over the fact that you're touching the toilet. You know, you've
got to clean it the other way around in that hemisphere.
Yeah, you got to clean it the other way around in this hemisphere. You're absolutely right. But you know those times when you had a big night at Square and then you get home and you hug the toilet? You've got to be friends like that when you're cleaning a toilet. You really got to get in there. And it's, so you got to get over yourself.
So, Ronnie, and just to apologize to the listeners, we did record an episode last week, but when we downloaded the audio, it only gave us 1 minute, 30 seconds audio. So we thought we'd spare you a week of listening to Ronnie's nonsense. And so this
was. So who's to blame? Who's to blame? It was you to blame, right? You're the guy in charge of clicking the record button. You didn't do that properly. You clicked it once too many times.
Yeah, that's most likely what I did do. So yeah, this week's episode, we're going to cover a bit of the URC. We're going to cover the quarterfinals of the Champions and Challenge Cups as well, just to catch you guys up. But first, Ronnie, Chasing the Sun has ended. We now know the Springboks win the Rugby World Cup. What did you think of episodes 4 and 5?
Yeah. Do you want my honest opinion?
Yes, please.
Okay, good. So you want my honest opinion. I was a little bit, look, obviously incredible show, fantastic. And even I got a little bit choked up a couple of times. I think I got choked up at least once every single episode, but I was a little bit disappointed in the last episode. I was disappointed by the fact that they didn't show that try that was disallowed, that was called back from the All Blacks, where they deemed there was a knock-on in the line-out. I think we conveniently just brushed over that and didn't address it in Chasing the Sun. And if you're going to have something you want it to be seen as credible, you have to go and address things like that. And I think the theme ultimate that I took away from that is that, you know, sometimes in rugby, you do get lucky and you can practice as much as you want, but it does come down to a bit of luck. And that's very important. So, and that was a case where the Springboks got lucky in that Wayne Barnes went back a couple of extra phases than the rule book said he should have, and called that back, and the try was disallowed. So rightfully so, I think it was the correct call to make ultimately, but Chasing the Sun did not address that. Aside from that, I think there was great takeaways. Dion Ferry with his injured shoulder. You know, in 2019, we had Willie LaRue who was knocking the ball on, and then after the fact, we realized it was he was nursing an injury, and now Dion Ferry, bloody hell, he was also nursing an injury, and that pretty serious one at that. But he still pulled it off, and that was incredible. So, yeah, lots of great moments.
Yeah, I think you've said pretty much all of it, Ronnie. It really was incredible to see. I do agree that moment should have been included. And I don't know, something in me wanted them to have interviewed Sam Kane about that red card. I would have liked to have seen what he had to say. But I mean, I think that's probably a step too far.
Sure. Feel sorry for him.
So, Ronnie, then we take a look at the URC. And I see on the agenda, I'm 365th on the log. And you are 9. Is that 9? You're not going to tell us where you are, or are you actually 9th on the log?
That is 9, the number, not 9, the word for no in German.
That's impressive, Ronald. Guys, please knock him out of the top 10. I can't take much more of his smugness over WhatsApp. I did share the chat on Instagram this week.
You're going to have to take it because you clearly are not a challenge for me in the IRC. Yeah, some other guys there that are obviously doing a lot better. At one point, I was up to 5th. You know, I was 8th and then 5th and then 9th. But yeah, I did have a pretty crappy round across the board in Super Brew, but still 9th.
We just need 2 of you guys to take him here. 2 of them, knock him out of the top 10, and then we're sorted. That's all I'm asking for. It's not that much.
Okay.
Then over to this weekend's results. We're not going to dwell too much on some of the games, but Ulster getting a 19-17 point win over Cardiff. A last-minute penalty from John Cooney saw them retain playoff hopes. And they really did pile the pressure on the Stormers with that win.
Yeah, absolutely right, Nick. It's a lot of pressure on the Stormers with respect to the log.
Yeah, they're starting to struggle down there in the Cape. Then we go over to Glasgow versus the Sharks. Glasgow getting a 21-10 point win at home. 3-2. A very changed Sharks side, Ronnie. I mean, most of the guys that played the week before in the quarterfinal were rested. Siamasuku, Vincent Koch, Vincent Chituka all on the bench. And only really Grant Williams starting that one. But why would they not play the strong Sharks team and maintain that momentum?
No, I don't know. And this is exactly what we said in last week's podcast, the one that you didn't press record for. You know, we would have liked the Sharks to maintain a bit of momentum. Yes, it's a different competition, but we did want a little bit of continuity and, like we say, carry that momentum over, which they haven't done now. It's a whole set of new players, and we go down to Glasgow. Yes, you know, we're fighting a losing battle in the IRC, in the URC. We're not going to get anywhere, but momentum's very crucial.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's difficult to watch. George Horn getting man of the match for Glasgow in that one. They really did have control of that game for much of it. You know, Siamasuku coming on, making a massive difference, as did Vincent Koch and Chituka, but not enough from the Sharks. Great to see Butter back, though. He's returned from injury, so that's awesome to see.
Good to see him back.
Benetton getting a 36-19 point win over the Dragons. They'll be chuffed with that one, maintaining their playoff hopes at the moment. And then Ronald, Lions 44-12 Leinster. If anyone got this right and you live in South Africa, please send me a message. I will send you some punted merch because well done.
Look, the reality is the bookies favored the Lions heavily. And the bookies are, you know, they are often very smart about these things. And they knew exactly which team was coming over to South Africa they knew that it was going to be trying conditions for Leinster at playing at Ellis Park and at altitude. So, yeah, the bookies knew exactly what was happening. If you look at the numbers on Superbred, it was heavily favored that Leinster would win, but not to be. The bookies knew what they were talking about. And I definitely got this one wrong as well. Well done to the Lions.
And just as a point of perspective, everyone's calling this the Leinster B team, and we'll have a bit of a debate about that later. But remember, this is the team Leinster deployed right through the Six Nations. They had this team doing duty. So it really is a strong Leinster side. The Lions must get credited for what they achieved here. 6 tries to 2, Ronnie. Absolutely impressive. And how must the Bulls and the Stormers be loving the Lions after that one?
Yeah, for sure. So well done to the Lions. A very impressive performance. 44 points, even over whatever team Leinster puts out on the field, is a very impressive thing to do.
And Sanele Nohamba, Ronnie, he continues to impress at 10. Yes. Hey, did you see him slot more than 50-meter penalty? That was unbelievable.
No, I'll say it again. He proved me wrong. I ate my words. I wasn't a big fan of him at the Sharks, but he's playing brilliantly at the moment. And for not just at the moment, for the last couple of weeks and months, like, the guy's playing incredible rugby. It's exciting. He's explosive. He's dynamic in that Lions backline. And he just seems to have found himself there at the Lions. So, yeah. Bloody well done to him.
So, yeah, great from the Lions. With that win, they move from 11th on the log back to playoff contention. So they are currently in the top 8. Would be great to see them continue that momentum through the last few weeks.
Bulls Munster, not so good if you're a Bulls fan. I know that there were some other companies out there, some other journalists out there that got that had a bit too much brandy to drink and actually said the Bulls had won this one, but not to be. Munster did. Munster won this 27 points to 22, and that season jumped the Bulls on the log. So the Bulls had everything to play for, a good position on the log, and they just weren't able to do it. So 4 tries to 3 in favor of old Munster, but yeah, not good.
We're going to have a chat about this whole Munster-Bulls-Leinster situation in a little bit, but I have to agree with you, very disappointing from the Bulls at home.
Yeah, it's unfortunate if you're a Bull as well, because it's the first loss to an overseas side in a 21 game run. So yeah, that's not good if you're a Bulls fan. But Jan Goosen, red card in the 54th minute is not going to help things. And that definitely saw a bit of a swing in momentum going in favor of Munster.
Yeah, that Jan Goosen, hey, that situation's not great. It's never great to see a red card, and always that debate's going to come up about, you know, should the 20-minute red card be there? But we know it now. Head contact is going to be severely punished, and the Bulls ended up paying for that. Ronnie, Stormers, Ospreys. Now, another difficult game for South African viewers this week. Stormers going down at home, 21 points to 27. The Welshites haven't been performing that well, and then the Ospreys go and get this done. What did you think of that game?
In Cape Town. It's very impressive, and you said it. It's at the business end of the URC, and the Stormers, you know, they need to put some good performances back to back, and they haven't. They slipped up here against the Ospreys, or rather the Ospreys played exceptionally well down in Cape Town, and, you know, deserved winners.
So, Ronnie, am I wrong to say that this is the worst performance we've seen from the Stormers in the last 3 years?
No, 3 years is a bit long. My memory's not that long. But yes, it was a dismal performance for the Stormers. And yeah, want to forget.
So I'm going to take a dig at Stormers fans here now, because as some of you'll know, I've got a colleague that's a Stormers fan, and he's always very chirpy about how bad the Sharks are doing. But it is now plausible that the Stormers can drop out of the top 8 in the URC, and they then will not be in the Champions Cup next year. But the Sharks can win the Challenge Cup and be back in the Champions Cup and the URC next year.
I hear that's fantastic, and laugh. But you can't say things like that. We as the Sharks, we can't jinx these things now. Come now.
Ronnie's standing up for the Stormers.
No, I'm standing up for the Sharks. If you're going to say things, we've just got to be quietly confident about our position in the Champions Cup. We can't be tempting fate. We've got to pull this one off. We can't be pushing our luck here.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll give you that one then, Ronald. Over to Edinburgh. They got a big 43-18 win over the Scarlets. And then rounding out the weekend's URC action, Connacht with a massive 54-16 win over Zebre. Quite a busy weekend in the URC, Ronald.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of things happening.
Ronnie, then just to take a jump 2 weeks back to the Champions Cup, everyone will know it was the quarterfinals. A lot of action, some really interesting games there. And first up, Ronnie, we had Bordeaux versus the Harlequins. Bordeaux going down at home 41 points to 42. And I know this is a game we both thought Bordeaux was going to smash because the week before they'd annihilated Saracens. So very well done to the Harlequins.
Harlequins playing exceptional rugby now.
Yeah, they really, really are. I mean, they were leading 14-0 after just 9 minutes, and then they managed to build on that and put the game away. Great to see Tyron Green getting a try in that fixture. And they will now play Toulouse in the semi-finals. So that's going to be a very, very big game in France.
We just want to clarify, they will be playing to win.
Toulouse to win, yes. And then, Ronnie, Leinster, they had a game against La Rochelle, last year's finalists. La Rochelle's had Leinster's number for a while until the pool stages this year. I think the fly time from Cape Town. 40 points to 13 win for Leinster, knocking the back-to-back champions out.
Yeah, and maybe we could argue that such a big performance against La Rochelle, that speaks to the team that they sent down to Ellis Park. But yeah, well done to Leinster, finally getting La Rochelle, getting one over La Rochelle there. And yeah, fantastic.
What do you make of Jamison Gibson Park being called the best nine?
It's a bit of a bold statement. But yeah, sure. I suppose that's coming out of the Irish media. You can't take, let's just take what they say with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, I think during the World Cup, Irish player that stood out the most was Bundi Aki. But you have to give Gibson Park and you have to give James Lowe credit. They're both quality players in Ireland at the moment.
Yeah, just list all the Kiwi players that play for Ireland.
That's actually accidental, but it was all three Kiwi players.
Yeah. Right, then moving on to the Saints versus the Bills. Also not a good game if you're a Bills fan. Unfortunately, Bills going down 59 points to 22 to Northampton Saints. The Saints making the semis for the first time in 13 years. That's incredible to see. Nine tries to three in favor of Saints, and seven tries all scored in the first half. So, yeah, at 13, 9-2, everything in favor of Northampton Saints.
And that 13 9-2 is actually a worrying stat because when the Bulls have their Springboks playing, Kirkley, Kanan, Villy, they're carving it up. And to see them only get two line breaks in a game really shows it was not the Bulls we've come to know.
Look, I agree with you, but something that was more concerning to me was how bad the Bulls' defense was. If you watch that first 20, 30 minutes, every time the Saints got their hands on the ball, they just ran straight through the Bulls' defense, and that was very difficult to watch.
No, you're right, Ronnie, and I think this is the point we should have this discussion. So we had quite a few people write into us about what had happened in this game, so just a refresher, Jake White left 18 top players back in South Africa after making a fuss about the flight situation overseas at what turned out to be 4 million rand paid by SARU to get the players there. Firstly, Kyle wrote in. Kyle's been a long-time listener, so thanks for that, bud. You're really pointing out Jake stuffed up with his selections here, embarrassing South Africa a bit in sending a weakened team. And if anything, it's given the North more ammunition for kicking us out of the competition. What do you think about that, Ronnie?
Yeah, well, I think there's always going to be people that are going to complain and say we don't belong. But the contracts are contracts and we're in it now and they're not just going to very easily remove us. But with that said, I also struggled to understand why Jake sent the team that he did. But he was within his right to do so. He's got 50-something players that are on the team sheets and he's got to use them. And sometimes the guys are tired and sometimes you have to rotate. I would have liked Jake to rotate perhaps a little bit sooner because the Champions Cup's important. I imagine a lot of money coming from the Champions Cup if you do well. So why not prioritize the big games? And this was definitely a big game. And they stuffed up.
So Lebo Khan wrote in and he had the opposite view saying, Jake White made the right call. They need to prioritize their position in the URC because remember, a victory over Munster would have guaranteed them a home semi-final. And then he says as well, the North never wanted us in the competition in the first place. If we'd won the game, they would have been complaining about the travel factor. And we send a weaker squad, they're complaining about that. It's just a different thing that they're using to blame that they don't want us in the competition. And rightly pointing out that Harlequins got no flack for leaving the likes of Joe Marler and Danny Kerr out of their their team. But I mean, 2 players to 18 players, can you really compare that?
No, you can't. But Leverkusen's also right. And I agree, people are always going to complain. People don't want us there. People hate the fact that, you know, I think a lot of most teams hate us because they hate us. What's that thing? We go on to win the World Cup. We're back-to-back champions. We're arrogant. Russie's done some things in the media. You know, we're an arrogant bunch on social media too. So they love to hate us and always complain about us. But yeah, I still would have liked Jake to send a strong team over because in hindsight, they didn't do well against Munster. So they stuffed up. So his plan of resting his players didn't work out.
Yeah, so I mean, you've also now got to look. Jake says all of these players are injured. And then the following week, they all selected to face Munster. And then Jake also placed many eggs in a single basket there by backing now, you know, Munster's this big game and the Bulls go and lose it. So I think Jake White will be regretting his selection choices a little bit as well with some retrospection.
Absolutely. So Saints will now go on to face Leinster at Croke Park. So yeah, come on, Saints.
Yep, we got to back the Saints in that one for sure. Then Ronnie, rounding out the Champions Cup action, Toulouse got a commanding 64-26 point win over Exeter Chiefs. 9-2 says it all. DuPont, Intermac, carving it up for them there.
Yeah, absolutely right. 9-2. Well done to Toulouse. I thought Exeter would have done a little bit better. Was it to be?
Yeah, I mean, 4 tries in 10 minutes from Toulouse. It really was like watching a bit of touch rugby at times. So Toulouse will now host Harlequins in the semi-final. That's going to be a good game to watch.
Yeah.
On to the Challenge Cup, Ronnie. Gloucester versus Ospreys. Gloucester got a 23-13 point win there. I think they'll be very grateful for Santi Carreras. He kept them in it, 18 points from the boot. And they will now face Benetton. Going to be a good game as well. Nice, decent matchup for a semi-final.
Agreed. Benetton proving to be a little bit more powerful now this year, and yeah, it's going to be a big ask for Gloucester.
Ronnie, then we had the Sharks, the competition that they are actually good at, getting a 36-30 point win over Edinburgh, a side they'd faced only 2 weeks earlier in the URC, or the IRC. 3 tries apiece, but it was the kickers that saw the Sharks home, so they can be quite grateful for that they were able to steal those clutch moments, especially as we head deeper into the playoffs.
You're absolutely right. And a back-to-back man of the match performance for Siya Masuku, that was very impressive to see. I actually don't know what to say because I just hope that they find him a nice mentor because he needs to be our Springbok 10 for the next decade. You know, him with Marnie, it's going to be fantastic to see. Siya really is good.
He has a really, really good base skill set. So, Ronnie, Sharks are not allowed to have a home semi-final. It's part of the competition rules that the South Africans can only host up to the quarters. So the Sharks will be facing Clermont in London. The Sharks did get to choose where in the north they would play. So London's the game. Probably a good, decent amount of Sharks fans there.
No, absolutely. A lot of South Africans finding their way to the UK, especially London. So might even have some home field advantage there.
Absolutely.
Eben, yellow card. Not so good because that guy's discipline record at the moment is not looking good. Repeated infringements over the games. So what do we do about that? Do we just let him? Because I don't think I want to tell Eben he needs to stop what he's doing. He'll probably punch me in the face.
Probably just a little frustrated within the side, you know, and piling the pressure on to turn their season around. So that might be where that's coming from.
Yeah, then moving on to Clermont versus Ulster. I definitely got this call wrong. I think in the week before last week, we spoke about, you actually said Clermont were going to beat Ulster quite comfortably. You expected that. I said no. You were right. I was wrong. Ulster losing that 53 points to 14. Yeah, Clermont just stepped it up again in the second half and demolished Ulster. So yeah, I definitely got that call wrong. 7-2 in favor of Clermont, obviously.
Yeah, dude, conceding penalties straight after you're awarded or get a try against you really just piles the pressure on. It you can't win a game if you're doing that. Instead of 7 points, it's just 10 points, back-to-back 10 points. And yeah, that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, that's a little bit disjointed off the kickoff, so that's not good to see.
Ronnie, over to Benetton. The Italians are progressing to their second or back-to-back semi-finals. They got a 39-24 point win over Connacht. Bit of a surprising one for me if you look at what Connacht is doing in the URC. But 5-4, And I'm really, really chuffed to see the Italians still in the competition.
Yeah, me too. Benetton's obviously doing very well. Well, we said second year in a row that they make the semis, but doing well in this competition this year. And their wins are convincing. So that's good to see if you are an Italian fan. And 5-4. Yeah, well done.
Ronnie, then just a shout out to Leanne Forbes over from Australia. She wrote into us last week as well. She's actually asking you for any tips on where she can watch Chasing the Sun 2.
Yeah, Chasing the Sun. Chasing the Sun 1 is on Rugby Pass. So if anyone hasn't figured that one out by now, Chasing the Sun 1 has now been made available to everyone on Rugby Pass. So that's fantastic. As for number 2, you know, I just watch it through a VPN. As much above board as possible. Got some DSTV credentials from my parents, and that's what I use. There are some methods, but perhaps not the platform to announce it publicly, that it's quite easy to find these methods.
Yeah, it's not on that thing you used to send a fax with. It's the other one. You know, there's an app for it that you can message. Not a fax machine.
But a Telegram, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Leanne also saying it's great to see the Sharks looking better. I do agree. Also, shout out to Sia Masuku, as we've just spoken about him really, really doing well. Leanne's a little bit worried about the Bucks not having much prep time together ahead of the Irish series. And we've seen Rassie's now cancelled the alignment camp as well. But I think that game against Wales is going to prove quite handy. I think there's going to be some good game time there. And I think the guys know each other so well, it's just going to be like falling back into a comfort zone.
Yeah, obviously a couple of players won't be playing. Big Dwayne from Ireland, not there. But we talk about this every year. There's not much game before the mid-year tours come along. But we've seen, yeah, we just roll with it every year. It's because of the seasons that are just misaligned that get our timing wrong. But look, it's just the way that it is.
So now we're going to just chat about a few of the topics in the news. But the first one I have to bring up here, and with my best Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine voice, vindication. Ellis Park has not sold out, Ronnie. It's been a full week. The tickets for the All Blacks test have not sold out. The Irish series sold out in half a day and 1 hour, respectively. And at R3,000 a ticket, Ellis Park is not sold out.
No, man, that can't be R3,000 a ticket.
$3,250 to sit by the tunnel now.
That's ridiculous, man. Sooner or later, we're going to be stop buying in Bitcoins. No, look, that's ridiculous. But you're right, vindicated, because Ellis Park at this point, yeah, there's a lot of improvements needed there. And I've definitely said it a few times. I also went after I said that I would never go again. But yeah, they've really got to sort stuff out there.
Yep, absolutely. Ronnie, were you as surprised as me to see Jordy Barrett signing with New Zealand Rugby until 2028, but with a 6-month stint at Leinster? Jordy coming out and saying it's just for financial reasons, but quite an interesting move.
Yeah, I'm a little bit shocked by it. It's a prime opportunity for the Irish teams to get one of their new young centres in and comfortable and in the mix and running the show there. I don't know why they keep going back while they're replacing one New Zealander with another, albeit temporarily. You know, why aren't they plugging some of their own youngsters?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's going to be lucky to see Arja Snyman and Jordy Barrett in the same team for a little bit. That's going to be lucky to see. On the injury front, Ronnie, Dion Ferry has been ruled out for the remainder of the season with a knee injury. It's very, very sad. Not sure, you know, at his age, if we're still going to see another season out of him. I really hope we do. But yeah, get better soon, Brynus.
It's impressive that he's still going, you know, honestly. And rightfully so, I hope it's not a career-ending injury. But look, it's on the cards. He is a medalla at this point.
Good news on the injury front, though. Jesse Creel returned to action in Japan this weekend, coming off the bench and scoring a try. So great to have Jesse back. He was one crucial player in that 2023 World Cup.
And what's the update on Malcolm Marks?
Malcolm looks set for a return in the Welsh warm-up game. He won't be back in time for the Japan's end of season.
All right.
So we're going to have to watch what happens with Malcolm there. I'm sorry, Leanne, that was actually part of your question as well. So thank you for reminding me, Ronnie. And then the Bloemfontein field is being resurfaced ahead of the test against Portugal. That's going to be quite lekker. Hopefully it's nice and green out there in the Free State. I'm going to be at that game, so I'm looking forward to it.
I wonder if anything can be green in the Free State.
In the winter.
Everything's got bloody dead and yellow. But it seems like a little not much time to that they have to relay a surface, but they're going ahead with it, which is impressive. Maybe the farmers down there really know a thing or two about grass.
We have to hope so, Ronnie. But lastly, Crusaders dropping to last place on the log after going 37 points to 15 down to the Force. One win from 8 games, Ronnie. Did you ever think we'd be saying this on the pod?
No. Did we ever? It has to be Razor's influence, right? The lack of Razor, they're no longer closely shaved.
Yeah, that's very, very true, Ronnie. Then May Fokchor moment of the week. It can only go one place, and it goes to the Lions' entire victory over Leinster. All the tries, all the defensive prowess, absolutely well done, Lions. You guys get the May Fokchor moment of the week.
And the second moment of the week is Ronnie's stellar performance at Super Brew.
Yeah, I'm definitely cutting this from the show. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchor, dit was lekker.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.